Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I couldn't wait to get down here today. Down here in this multi-million dollar studio. Those of you who've been down here know where it is. We got the green room over there, and we got the coffee machine over there. This couldn't wait to get down here today because this is a day of victory. I feel it in my bones. I got a lot of stuff to share, a lot of stuff to talk about. We are on day three of, I don't even know what we're on, but you know, it's been pretty amazing. The response I've gotten over the last 2 days of this show. Hey, listen, you guys know this. I don't consider myself a biblical expert. I don't consider myself, I'm just a coach, man. I just throw the ball out on the field and we scrum after it. And it's been really, really good because the scripture tells us that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom, great knowledge. The information that's coming forth has been unbelievable. But from the emails I got, I can't believe the number of people, how ignorant we are. The stuff we talked about yesterday, right? The spirit man, the natural man, the carnal man. Wow. I got a lot of emails about it. So we're going to dive back into it today. But first, before we get rolling into it, I just got to stop. I want to hear some victories. I'm still fasting, haven't eaten now in about 60 some hours. I haven't eaten. Getting stronger every day. I'm getting my spirit man's growing stronger. That's what it's about, right? And we have to understand and learn the difference between our demonic oppression, demonic temptation, and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and which one I'm forgetting? Pride of life, lust of the eyes, and lust of the flesh. So I want to hear somebody. Let me get up here, right? And I want somebody come in here to tell me. This is victory celebration today. Somebody come in here and tell me that they got victory over yesterday for 20 some hours. Coach, I didn't drink a cup of coffee. Coach, I didn't anything. Come on, somebody's gotta have something in there. I'm looking to see if anybody's got their hand up. I don't see hands flying up in the air yet. Anybody want to testify? Or maybe the hands aren't working this morning. If you got a test, come on, somebody. You mean of all the people right now, 80 of us, nobody got victory over anything yesterday? Okay, good. Now they're popping up. Come on in, Luann. What'd you get victory over yesterday?
No coffees.
No coffee?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to have coffee, so I got to get rid of it. So.
And you went all day and didn't have it?
I didn't have none all week.
Hey, it's a victory. It's a victory. Jeff Nell.
Yeah. Yeah, not the other day I had to go to the emergency room. They said I had pneumonia. But anyway, I'm not doing good. I'm doing great today, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot better today.
Okay, now listen to me. Are you listening? Stop agreeing with the devil. Stop agreeing with the devil.
I ain't. That's why. Well,
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said, I ain't feeling very good. Stop agreeing with the devil. Remember, you're either up or getting up. You're either up or getting up, Luann. Jeff, come on in.
Develop self-control. I can eat a whole pot of spaghetti, but I resist it.
You resisted it, huh? Hey, Jeff, I could eat one right now, too. My wife makes good spaghetti. Right? But you know what's good about my wife? She's not doing a lot of cooking and stuff. She's not tempting me every day. She moved the cookie jar away. She moved the candy jar so I don't have to walk by it every day. Right? But she's helping me, but I'm getting victory. Go ahead,
Mark. Amen to that.
Go ahead, Mark.
I did what Luann did. I stopped coffee, and I had a really, really rough night. I don't know if it's because of the coffee, but I had a headache like – I don't know, all day yesterday. And I don't know if it's cause of coffee, but I drink like 2 or 3 pots a morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I know it's bad for you. You know how I drink coffee. I just got to stop it.
Well, so listen, Mark, whether you go back to it or not, you've proven to yourself you can go a day without it, right? And if you can go a day without it, you can go 2 days without it. And I don't care. Go ahead.
What really got me on it is creamer. Ever since Bobby started talking about creamer, making himself better, he helped me with Diet Coke. So he's really convicted me, iron sharpening iron, coach.
Good. That's what it's all about. Hey, it's what's – and, folks, small victories, right? So I'm on day three of my fast. 5 o'clock tonight will be three complete days. You know what? I think I can go four. I think I can go five. I think I can. Come on in, John Diamond, then Myra.
Yeah, coach. Joining along with ever since we had Dr. Jen down there, and I've known theologically that, you know, fasting is not just about depriving yourself of food. It's about self-control over the flesh, being able to tell the flesh no. If you can't say no to food, then how are you going to say no to these more damaging things that control us? But no, when the brother talked about self-control this morning, ever since I started on Dr. Jen's stuff and I bought all her supplements there at her table at the Dayton conference, I mean, that's been me, man. I would overeat. I'd sit down with 10 wings. Man, now I sit down with 4 wings and I stop eating and I really don't eat anymore. And I know that after 4. I know that after 4. It's just gluttony. It's just
– Hey, John, listen to me. Daggone it, a bird, a chicken only has 2 wings. Stop at 2. You don't need to eat 2 chickens, 2 wings, right? Folks, incremental, right? Incremental victory over this, over our flesh, man, over our flesh. Myra, come on in, sweetheart. Sorry, John.
Yes, good morning, Saints.
Morning, Myra.
Forgiveness and faith. Thank you.
All right, forgiveness and faith. Forgiveness. Hey, listen. Listen, there's 88 of you in here. And you mean none of you over the last 24 hours did what the coach asked you to do, pick something and get victory over it. So you just came here and you sat in your chair and you listened, said, oh, that was good. You sent some emails, boy, that was really good. And then you didn't put any of it into practice. None of you can't. You mean to tell me the 89 of you in here right now, you guys didn't pick anything to get victory over yesterday? And then a better question is, what are you getting victory over today? Are you continuing victory over that thing you got victory over yesterday? Or are you going to go back? Because that's like playing football game. You gain 5 yards and jump off sides. You give the 5 yards back. That's stupid, right? So how bad do you want to get victory over? John, you still want to talk? Your hand's still in the air. I did cut you off. No? Jeff Nell. Hey, Jeff Nell. Get that list out, man, that we were talking about in the after show. Tell me all the things that you were joyful about. Did you write that list down, Jeff?
Sort of.
Not sort of. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, all right. I got a slap on the hand. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's called accountability, man. It's called accountability, right?
Yes. Well, I had conversations with several people in the different parts of the country and encouraged to, instead of think of ourselves so much full of pride, even we can solve the problem, give it to God.
Amen. Amen.
Stop the pity party.
You know why it's good to call other people and talk to other people? Because when you're talking to other people, you got to be careful, but you get the devil out of your head. You get the devil out of your head when you're talking to other people encourage you. Other people lift you up, right? So encourage one another in the Lord is what the scripture tells us. Come on, somebody else. Nobody else got victory over anything, over self. Go ahead, Glenn.
This Dale.
So, go ahead, Dale.
So here's, you know, it's a testimony and gratefulness. I shared about my wife being an accident. You know, my thing is I get really upset when people tell me about wearing a mask. I mean, I really do. I mean, something inside me stirs up pretty bad. And so my thing was that I don't slap somebody. Of course, that's a word of mouth. But, you know, I get the phone call that my wife was in an accident. It was a pretty good accident and it was her fault, but she's crying. She calls me up and she says, this person is just cussing me out, Dale. Drop it. You know, this is my wife. So while I'm driving to the accident, everything inside of me wants to grab the person out of the car and what?
Yeah.
Because this is my wife. This is, so what, you know, marvel not at these trials and tribulations that spring up amongst you, for this is where our patience is endured. So I want to let you know, coach, I thought about that. Doesn't matter what other people, I thought about that thing when I was going to the accident, that when I got to the accident, not only was I calm and peaceful and checking on the people in the car that it literally changed the atmosphere.
Amen, buddy.
Of the person no longer yelling and screaming. So that's my testimony.
We're glad she wasn't hurt more than that, Dale. God bless you, man. Come on in, Rich. Or Glenn. I'm sorry, Glenn first. Glenn, then Rich, then Kevin.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad that Michelle wasn't injured. Dale can always replace the vehicle. Thanks for sharing that. Hey, so what I've been doing on and off is doing what we call intermittent fasting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where you just eat one meal a day. So if you can't fast, I would encourage you to try that because, you can exist on one meal a day without any problem. Now, what we've done also, we're trying something new. We're trying this home chef program where they send you like three meals a week and these are dinners and they send you all the ingredients. Okay. You'll get some chicken and vegetables and then you're cooking. It's all natural food and it's portioned. So it's just enough for like two people. And that's what we eat for dinner. We don't eat any more than we need to eat, but we eat natural food. So let me
beat that down a minute, Glenn. Okay, because good for God bless you. Don't get me wrong, folks. I want you to think about this. If do you want to get control of your inner man or not? And by the way, if you put outward controls on the inner man, does that control your heart? So in other words, if I wanted to get victory over pornography, I could put on a mask. I could put something over my eyes. I could go around and I could get victory over pornography by putting a mask over my eyes. But see, it doesn't change my heart. I could do what Glenn just said, and it's a great thing. I could order special meals. Hang on. I'm going to order special meals, Glenn, because I don't have the discipline to do it myself. So therefore, I'll order special meals, and that special meal, maybe at some point it will discipline me. But isn't the end result of this all for you to be able to discipline yourself without outward influences? Isn't that really the goal? And thank God that we have these, or Dale was talking about yesterday, the internet porn blocker. Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. It's a tool that helps you fight porn, but wouldn't it be better if you just got that evil stuff out of your heart? Isn't that the ultimate goal? So that's what these little spiritual trainings of fasting, that's what it's about. It's not about not watching porn. It's about getting the desire out of your heart. You understand? Those aren't the same things. Lord, help me get victory over this desire. And I'm going to get victory over on it, Lord, because I'm going to put my phone down for 12 hours. Lord, and then I'm going to put it down for 12 more hours. And then, Lord, you know what? I'm not going to drink coffee today. And then, Lord, I may not drink coffee tomorrow. And even though I have this urge to drink coffee, I'm not going to give in to that urge to drink coffee. I'm just, Lord, I'm going to get victory over that. And as you begin, it's like lifting weights. You get stronger. I did that to coffee, all right? Now I'm going to do that to my phone and lift some weights to get stronger. Okay, now I got both of them going. Now I'm going to get victory over gossip, whatever it is. So we can get all kinds of outside controls that can prevent you from doing it. But wouldn't you rather have created me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, cast me not away from your presence, take not your Holy Spirit from me? So we have to have that desire in our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need heart surgery, not cosmetic surgery, boys, girls. Heart surgery. Come on in, Rich. Then Kevin. Then Jeff.
Yeah. Good morning, Coach. I actually came down with this conviction last week, so it was kind of neat and affirmation when you start talking about this. This topic this week. So end of week two, a couple things has happened. My big thing was the eating. I love food, but I'm allergic to it. It causes me to swell up.
Me too.
But anyway, I dropped 5 pounds.
Good.
And then the there was one day I really was being tempted, and I resisted. And there's been a topic that I've been wanting to research in the Bible to just get down to the bottom of the whole thing and get a conclusion in my own heart what the answer was. So I grabbed the Bible, opened it up, and those scriptures started popping out on me in front of me, left and right. And all, I mean, it just was amazing. And I felt like I got my answers accomplished there as well. So,
amen.
I'm pumped.
Clean the vessel, right? Clean the vessel. Right. It's like going out onto your car. You guys ever get your car and your battery wouldn't run? And somebody said, well, you got to clean those cables. You got to clean those cables. It's not making a good connection. So as you begin to discipline yourself in your life, you're cleaning those cables. And you're getting a good connection to the battery. And you'll be able to get victory over things that you'd never gotten victory. And you're going to feel more power than you've ever fought. And listen, I'm going to help you. The easiest thing to do when you're tempted, run. Run. You want to do something, go for a walk. Change your activity. Break that pattern in your mind. Come on in, Kevin.
All right, so I decided to take up the challenge yesterday and did my best to not swear. Very conscious about it, all right? And I did pretty good until I got home, and I had an early day yesterday, so I went to make lunch, and I'm in the kitchen, and I'm cutting up vegetables, and I sliced my thumb.
Uh-oh.
And then guess what happened?
Uh-huh.
I grabbed the Grampy pill, and I swore. but the thing was, is I was conscious about it.
Amen, buddy.
Right. When it happened, I realized that I did it, and I just got back up on the horse and kept going.
So in other words, right? So now, see, one of the things that we know in the scriptures, it tells us this, that our consciences are seared. I'm not sure where that is. But if you do what Kevin did, say, I'm not going to swear all day. When you swear, your conscience is alive again. And you say, oh my goodness, I did what I didn't want to do. And know what Paul talked about? A wretched man that I am, things I don't want to do, I do, and things that, right? So a part of this training, part of this spiritual training you're going through is an awakening and an enlightening of your conscience. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you, it's sin. See, it's not always the act that's the sin. It's the giving in to it that is the sin. You understand? Jeff, come on in. Got to be more of you out there that got victory over something. Come on, Jeff.
Spiritual food. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Coach, I was a partial drunken sailor, a real, live, drunken sailor. You hear it in the movies about a drunken sailor, always put us down on that. But that's where I was. And I think of the spiritual food in Colossians chapter 3, 7 and 8, in which he also walked sometime, which he lived in them. But now also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. God's characteristics and attributes allowed to change my heart within to be the shining light and the flavor of the salt by first impression.
Amen. 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 Amen, Jeff. Hey, pull up for me 6 things, Spencer. Jack, did you want to jump in here? You have to unmute if you did, but I saw you put your hand up there for a minute and took it down. See, hey, some of you didn't do very good. Some of you didn't do very good yesterday. If you can't come in here and tell me something that you purposely in your heart said, I'm not going to do that today. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you guys do your assignment? You want to get stronger spiritually or not? Come on in, Steve.
Yeah, I spent too much time watching and checking videos. But anyway, yesterday I got motivated. I had to take care of some stuff in the house. I had this gas leak in the house for 20 years. I soaped all the joints, struggled. I'm like, it would come and go. And last 2 weeks I've been on the hunt, and I figured it was the meter that was on the outside of the house yesterday. So I'm out there in the rain, coughing, that would prevent any drafts coming in from the outside. And I was like, and I'm still smelling this real faint smell. And I was like, let me re-soap these pipes again. And I go and bam, there it is. I find the valve was leaking, and I did a different technique. I used a paintbrush to put the soap on instead of the spray bottle. And I was like, are you kidding me? I soaked that thing thousands of times, and I found it yesterday. And that was a major hurdle. So now I got
to victory. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Victory, you know, Steve. Good one, man.
Weeks away for closing, but it's...
Well, hey, Steve, start acting like you have to close tomorrow. Get all over that procrastination. I got to close tomorrow. Joe, come in, then Rochelle, then Craig.
I try not to use I in my conversation.
How'd you do?
Not too good.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, though, doesn't it? Now your conscience is catching you. Your conscience is catching you. See, here's a lot of problems. You got I trouble. Me, my, mine trouble. Listen, I always told this. Remember, I've said this to you before as a football coach. When we lost after the game, I took credit for the loss. My bad, boys. My bad. And when we won, I said, boys, we won. You guys won. Look what we did, right? So taking personal responsibility, get rid of that eye trouble. Rochelle, come on in, then Craig.
So good morning, everyone. So I've got a habit of whenever, once I get home from work, I might do, well, there's a substance that's illegal here in Florida, but maybe not illegal in Colorado, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
So I have actually, I quit doing that. And this was actually the beginning of the week. So another day down without any of that.
Amen. Amen.
So well, and I know it sounds like a victory, but now I'm inside my own head. And actually, I don't know if I picked fights, but I definitely addressed some issues that I've been slide that I probably shouldn't have been letting slide. So, but the good news is that I saw my dad for the first time, in almost a year. So, things are getting better.
Hey folks, remember this. Bible says this, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? It's those little things, those little sins that so easily beset us. Come on in, Craig, then Randy.
Hey coach, maybe you could, pull up these verses here. It's we reference it a lot. Jeremiah chapter 17, and maybe you could have Silver read 5 through 13.
Yeah, it's up there, Silver, 5 through 13. Jeremiah.
And the my little quip on it is the heart is the root, and the root is the problem. And this will bring that into light.
Yeah, we'll get victory over our heart. Can you read that there, Silver?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I know you can. Will you read it?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, salt land, and not inhabited.
Wow, wow, wow.
Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked.
Amen, it is.
Who could know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
Wow, that baby is deep right there, Joe. Stop a minute, right? Oh my good. The Lord, remember what we're talking about here? You can put on a blindfold and stop looking at porn, but the Lord's looking at your heart. Look at this. I try the reins. Wow. Huh? In other words,
Coach.
He sees how firm you are. Yeah, well, Samson would get that one. Go ahead, Craig.
The New King James, which I'm reading from, it says, I test the mind. And this is what we were talking about. It's a battle of our minds.
Mm-hmm. Who does that? The Lord does it, right? Not the devil. I try the reins. Go ahead, Joe. Finish that up.
As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches,
wow,
not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool.
Mm.
A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary.
Is that it, Craig? Where did you want us to finish? Where did you want us to finish?
I just said down to 13.
13. Go ahead. One more, Joe. That's what I thought you said.
O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters.
Mm. I just heard it three times from the Lord. I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. You guys looking at me? Some of you need to write a check to somebody. I'm not asking you to give money to Pass the Salt Ministries. If you do, God bless you. I appreciate it. But I'm telling you right now, some of you, your heart is blocked. And somebody, the Lord has already spoken to you. Maybe it's somebody you go to school with, work with. Maybe it's somebody at your church. And the Lord has told you to help them financially, and you haven't done it. The Lord's trying your heart, baby. The Lord's trying your heart. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, another scripture I want to bring out, James 1:12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Coach, when we do a fast, what we're doing is there's 100 different fasts, okay? But the fasting life is when you choose to take this life on, you endure temptation, okay? But it says, but when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This is not a heavenly one of the crown. This is in life right now. When you say no to this, coach, and when you get victory, you put on a crown that says, I have victory. I have the life of God in me. I have victory over this.
Amen.
But here comes the proof. When we start doing this fasting and start enduring temptation, what happens? We get tested. Here comes the enemy and wants to take away that victory. And that's when you have to put on the armor and say, no, I won this. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to fight for it. It's mine. That is what you have to do, coach.
That's right. You got to grab it and hold on to it and make it your own. For instance, I know me. I'm going to fast. I don't know how long I'm going to fast till whatever the Lord wants me to. And when I get done fasting, all of my, what's the word I'm looking for? All the urges to eat potato chips and those cravings, I'm telling you, they're gone. They're gone. 3 days, 4 days, whatever, they're gone. Then you know what happens? I eat a potato chip. And here it comes, right? So the whole idea is, you know, you do the fast and then you're done. Say, whoo, that's it. I'm going to go back to my old ways. Is that really right? Really? You'll go back to your old ways? Now, I'm not just talking about fasting. I'm talking about in general. You want to go back to your old ways? Well, why would you even fast if you're going to do that? You mean you're going to fast and you're going to, my son-in-law said, I'm going to go vegetarian for a while. I went vegetarian, lost a bunch of weight. I said, man, that's good. I'm wondering how long it's going to be before he's back eating hamburgers. Because if he starts eating hamburgers again, he's going to put that weight back on, right? Or the high blood pressure, whatever it goes with. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, I do not want to take away from the message of what Randy said at all, the validity of what he said. But it's an opportunity to speak about words. You know, he said, blessed is the man. And we as trained, quote, Christians, use that word blessed a whole lot. But you know, that word is spelled exactly the same word as the way blessed is spelled. And blessed makes it a little more personal in my mind and in my life.
Amen. Some, say it again. Somebody needs to write a check. I heard you, Lord. I told him, okay? And I'm not saying to me. You know who it is. You haven't, all I can do is tell you. Okay, so let's do this, Kevin. Or Spencer, I changed. Go to seven deadly sins. Seven deadly sins. So I came across this yesterday. I thought it was pretty good. Spence, can you make this a little bit larger for us? Folks, these are called deadly sins. These just ain't sins. These are deadly sins. And I would also...
Where does the Bible call them deadly?
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't. Does it not call them deadly?
Well, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Connections and everything. There's a big denomination that's called them the deadly sins. The Bible calls them abominations. And there's a whole lot of other things that are abominations other than these sevens in the Bible.
Okay, cool. So these things lead to death. That's what Jeff would say. These are deadly sins. All sin leads to death, right? All sin does. But lust, they mentioned lust. Well, what is lust? Lust is a strong passion or longing, especially for sexual desires. And I think that's part of it. I think you can lust from other stuff. Slide on down a little bit, Spence, if you can. The Bible speaks about lust in 2 Timothy 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Hey, listen, there's some things that you ought to put behind as you get older in the Lord. Those youthful lusts that used to grab you when you're 20, 21, 22, as you get older, you ought to be putting those things away, right? Youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Bible also mentions lust in some other verses. Chastity or self-control or control cures lust. You want to cure lust? Chastity, self-control. By controlling passion and leveraging the energy for the good of others. Gluttony. Gluttony is an excessive and ongoing eating of food or drink. I'd say everybody right now can raise your hand and say, that'd be me. Some of us show up more as weight. We gain weight, but we all know we eat four birds when we only need to eat two birds. Right, John? Right? Yep. In gluttony, it says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, eat and drink to the glory of God. Temperance cures gluttony. And one of the things we're doing right now, hopefully, is we're teaching you temperance. Temperance cures gluttony by implanting the desire to be healthy, therefore making one fit to serve others. So it could be a desire to be healthy, or it could be just a desire to be stronger spiritually. Either one of them. It's all about how bad you want to do it. Number three, greed. Oh boy. Greed is an excessive pursuit of material goods, which, by the way, leads to covetousness, or covetousness leads to greed. The reason America's in the mess we're in financially is the government responds to greed, right? Government responds to covetousness. I want Larry to pay off my son's college bills. I want Randy to provide food for my neighbor's children. That's covetousness, right? So charity, oh, I heard it, Lord. Somebody needs to write a check. Charity cures greed. Charity cures greed by putting the desire to help others above storing up treasure for yourself. You want to get rid of greed? Write a check. Say, well, I don't have the money to do it. Well, maybe it's because you're greedy. Number four, sloth. Sloth is an excessive laziness or the failure to act and utilize one's talents. Oh, my goodness. I could camp right there. So I've said this ever since we started the show over five years ago. Some of you guys are spiritually dead because nobody's taught you to exercise your gifts. Nobody has. And one of the problems, I'm telling you, it took me a long time to get over it, is Mark Trump. Mark has a lot of skills. But when we first got sky high up and running, Mark Trump got in his truck and came up here. Joe Allen got in his truck and came up here. Ryan Duncan came up here. I could go on. I could talk about Richard, who came, others who came up here. And one of the hardest things for me to do was to say, thank you. I wish I could pay you, but I don't have the money. But see, if I'd have said that to Mark, hey, Mark, here's 50 bucks. Hey, Mark, here's 100 bucks. Folks, I'd have been peeing all over his gift. You understand that? Do we understand how this operates? If Mark wanted me to pay him, then we would have negotiated a wage before he came up. He came up to help me at Sky High. He didn't say, Coach, I'm going to come up there for this amount of money or that amount. I'm going to come up there. And I said, Sky High. Okay. And then what did I fight the whole time? God, I felt guilty. I felt guilty. I ought to give him something. What can I do here? And I try to help people all the time. If I help somebody, I don't want to give them any money. I said, no, man, I want to do it. You understand the association I'm making here, folks? Sometimes we steal somebody else's blessing by feeling like we owe them something just because they're doing it. It's like you tithe to get. You give money to get. It's the same thing. Mark Trump, the rest of his life, is going to be able to come up here and drive up Sky High and look around, and he'll have the memory in his heart of what he did here.
Amen, so, Coach.
Right? Not what I paid him to do. Not what I paid him to do. And same thing with Ryan and Joe and Craig Abkemeyer and all the people who've come and volunteered. And we have this issue with pride. Randy sent me a freaking skid steer. I still feel guilty about it. I still feel guilty about it. Why? Pride?
Coach, pride. Coach, you nailed it. We're, on that. That was something my father taught me when I was a kid, that to deny somebody, don't deny somebody who wants to give you a gift because there's a blessing in it.
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
And you're denying them that blessing, you know. Randy,
that's right.
Nailed it, brother.
Randy said, Coach, it's just sitting here. I don't use this thing. It's just sitting here. Might as well send it to you. So he ships it out to me, and I can't tell you what happened to Sky High because I had Randy's skid steer there. And every day I talk to him, I feel good. He says, Randy, should I send you 100 bucks? What book? No, I'm stealing his. Folks, it's the law. Remember Fred taught us that, Pastor Fred? It's a law. It's a law. Sowing and reaping. And why are we so adverse to that law? You say, well, Coach, I can't give any money because I don't have much. There's your problem. You aren't sowing. I'm sounding like one of those prosperity preachers. Not trying to. I'm trying to teach you a principle, right? Trying to teach you a principle. Wow. Wrath. Sloth. Did we do sloth? I think, I don't know if we did or not. Yeah, we did. Sloth. Stay at sloth there a second. I'm going to go back to that because a lot of them are dealing with that. Sloth is an excessive laziness or failure to act and utilize one's own talents, right? Diligence, Steve Deck, or zeal cures slothlessness, slothfulness. Diligence does. By placing the interests of others above a life of ease and relaxation. Boy, I fight that with my wife. Oh, honey, do you do the dishes? She comes in, did you do the dishes? I think, nah, no, I got to sit a little bit longer over here, right? It's sloth. I'm not honoring her, not working. Wrath. Wrath is a strong anger and hate towards another person. Bible says, boy, we're not supposed to do that. What cures wrath? Patience cures wrath. Gales wants to go wring that guy's neck because he's yelling at his wife. And on the way over there, Dale exercised patience. And what does it do? Cures the wrath. Right? Huh? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Go in the corner and count to 10. By the way, that's what Jesus did when he stormed into the temple, flipped over the tables. He went over and counted to 10. He made himself a whip. Remember that? Huh? A little bit of patience, took his time, made sure it was righteous anger. 6, envy. Envy is the intense desire to have an item that someone else possesses. Hey, you know what cures envy? Kindness. Kindness cures envy by placing the desire to help others above the need to supersede them. I heard it, Lord. Listen, somebody has to write a check to somebody. I'm going to tell you, number seven is pride. And pride is at the heart of all of them, man. Pride is an excessive view of one's self without regard for others. By the way, this is the deadly one, right? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The pride of life. So you know what? Mark Trump taught me a great lesson. I shouldn't be so prideful if somebody wants to give me something. Steve Deck taught me a great lesson. I shouldn't feel guilty when somebody wants to give me something because it's humility. I'm not worthy. God bless you, man. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. But thank you. Thank you. You understand? So we need to begin to apply these things in all areas of, well, I feel like a counselor here. This stuff is so rich and so good. So good. Larry, your hand's still up. Did you want to come in? And Craig, did you? No? Craig, come on in, Craig.
Do you know why God hates pride more than anything else?
Well, the devil, that's what the devil is all about. I will ascend. I will be like God. I will arise beyond. I don't know. Go ahead, Craig.
That's it. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's Isaiah 14. It's the five I wills. Everything in creation up to that point was going along as God's will.
Yep.
That was the first domino to fall.
Yep. Then the devil wanted to come in and elbow, didn't he? He wanted to come in. Nevertheless, yep, I will ascend. I will. Bernie, come on in. Bernie, I see your hand up there, bud.
Okay, Coach, you're right. There's so much of sin that can be just cured with humility, because a lot of the times we fall into the problem is, well, what should I be doing? All right, not what we don't have. The problem is not that we don't have something, but we don't do things with the things that we do have. So you have Elijah and you have the widow, and she's, you know, he says, well, what do you have left? He said, well, I just have, you know, a little oil, a little bit of grain, and then I'm going to die, you know? And he said, well, fix me a sandwich. Right. You know, and, well, that's what she had to give to God. And God, and he said, well, if you got some oil, we'll get some jars. And don't get a few, get a bunch, you know? So the thing is to take what we do have. And another thing is that even like with lust, you know, if you look at a woman, we're just not seeing them right. You know, we didn't see that woman, that's somebody's daughter, you know,
that's
somebody's wife. I got to protect that, you know, in which all we have to do is just humble ourselves, say, no, I shouldn't look at that. Oh gosh, I can't believe that person, that must be so lost. That's where we come down and we have to say, oh, I'm doing this wrong, okay? Because it's me and my that's creating the lust and the grabbing that. And we have to look at what we do have and be grateful for it. Ingratitude is the biggest problem. You know, you got people that just like money. You're never satisfied with money. You always need more. You just be grateful for what you do have.
Amen. Amen. So listen, you're not going to believe this, Bernie. As you were talking, see, I'm not going to say I heard from the Lord, okay? I heard something, and here's what I heard. I hate to do this. Stinginess is lack of belief in the provision of God. That's what I just heard. You're stingy.
You're right.
You're stingy because you don't think God's going to forget you. You're going to run out, right? You're going to run out. And in fact, when you're stingy, you're blocking the door. Blessing. Come on in still, Bernie.
So no, we're going on. You know what? If I start talking about all the things that God's dealt with me and run through me over the years, I, you know, we could be here all day. So I'm
okay. Okay. So I understand this, folks. We haven't spoken about the devil yet, have we? We haven't talked about demons, demonology, oppression. No, this is your carnal man. This is your carnal nature. We got to get victory over our carnal nature, but we're not going to get victory over the spirit. Go ahead, come on in, Randy. Go ahead, Bernie. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I just say I have a saying that says I tried running away from my problems, but no matter where I went, I was still there.
Yeah, amen. And wherever you go, you're there. I know, man. I know that feeling. Randy, then Jeff.
Coach, what is so encouraging about this, Coach, is after a while, you've changed your mind, you've changed your pattern, and it becomes your heart. And what it becomes, Coach, we've walked out of the, in Galatians 5, Paul, he compares the sins or the fruit of the Spirit to the works of the flesh. What happens, Coach, is these works, it's not works of the Spirit anymore. It's the fruit of the Spirit, Coach. It turns our heart, and then all of a sudden, out of our heart comes the fruit of the Spirit. And the works of the flesh, that's the carnality, that's the flesh. But when you learn to, when it becomes the change, then it just comes out of you. It's fruit.
Amen.
And that's where we're wanting to get to. And this is great.
So it says, Jeff, get with you ready just a second. Walk in the Spirit, and what? You will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what it says, right? So I'm going to go upstairs here in a little bit. And sometimes when I go up there, Michelle's had bacon and eggs. I walk every, oh, it smells so good. I'm going to walk up those steps today. And because my wife's not trying to tempt me, I'll bet she hadn't cooked anything for me. And I'm going to walk up there, and I'm going to walk by that cookie jar, and we'll see that candy, those Grampy pills, and I'm going to keep on walking, right? Why? Because I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm not going to fulfill the lust of my flesh that makes me want to go over and grab one of those hunks of candy or whatever it is, right? Come on, man. This is a gradual victory day by day. We've got to get victory over our carnal nature, or we'll never get victory over the bigger things. Jeff, now, come on in.
When I'm out there street preaching, I get an occasional 200, 20, 50, 80 bucks by people just come up and they say, here. But when I ask them, you don't really necessarily have to give it to me. They say, God has given me, tell me to give it to you. Oh. So I make sure it's a joyful giver, not somebody had to do it because the churches say tithe so we can maintain the building. Thank you.
Amen. Oh, amen. Listen, folks, that's God. Ooh, I heard that, Lord. Look, that is the ultimate. That's the ultimate pride. It's the ultimate pride when you will not receive what someone else gives you. That's the ultimate pride. There's no other reason why you wouldn't take it. No, there's no other reason other than it's prideful to receive from somebody else. I've had a hard time with it. But listen. Oh, thank you, Lord. So Saturday we were in Pennsylvania, and somebody came up and gave me $100 bill. Wow, $100 bill. You know what I did? I walked over and gave it to somebody else. You understand? So if your desire, there's somebody today that had $100 need met in their life because I was not too prideful to receive it. You guys, you see it? You see the connection? I could have said, oh, I don't need it, man. I don't keep your money. I'm blocking his blessing. He gave it to me. Now I have a decision what I'm going to do with it. Now I got to check my own heart. Am I going to be greedy with this? Or am I going to look around and see, oh, I bet they need it. Wow. This is deep. Mark Trump, then Patriot, then Kevin. Go ahead, Mark.
I just want to point out what we're getting is meat. What you are dwelling on this week has been great. We started off with demonics and spiritual delivery and oppression, and now we're getting into fixing our bodies. Coach, this is what churches need to do. This is what men of God should be doing for others. And I just want to thank you. Thank you for being obedient. I appreciate you, Coach.
Well, thanks, Mark. See, here's what happens. We fall into routine in church, okay? You know, folks, like when you're in school, Kevin, I'll get to you in a second. Hang on. The teacher makes out lesson plans. And why do you make out lesson plans? Because it kind of keeps you on course, right? I think pastors make lesson plans. And I think they just want to get through today's lesson. And then next Sunday, they'll get through Sunday's lesson. And they squash the, what's the word I'm looking for? The spontaneity of the Spirit of God. They crush that because they've got their lesson plan, and I got to get through this sermon today because it's part of this 6-week sermon series that I'm doing. And their desire is not to serve the needs of the people. It's to complete, for their own prideful reasons, the lesson they present. Is I sounding okay? You know what I'm talking about? You know what's magic in here? There ain't any of that. There isn't any of that. I fight it all the time because I say, I ought to be talking about this, but I'll talk about this. I sit back sometimes and listen to the replay of this show because as you guys are talking to us right now, I'm listening, but I'm trying to keep the show going too, right? So sometimes I hear, but I don't hear. And then I'll go back and listen to the replay. I'll say, oh my God, did he say that? A deeper understanding of it, right? You understand? So that's what is so magical about this. Right now, everyone's 102 in the queue. Right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to each and every one of you. Isn't that unbelievable? And it's not saying the same thing. The Holy Spirit is personable. It's person related. The Holy Spirit right now is speaking to you regarding your spiritual condition. Saying one thing to Randy and another thing to David, something else to Joe and something else to Bernie and something else to Rochelle. This is the free flow of the Spirit of God. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick point on envy, something the Lord taught me years ago. But before I do, I think this is, you might be able to kind of back me up on this. The last time I did a 3-day fast, I noticed how keen my sense of smell became. Have you experienced that?
I noticed that everything becomes more keen. Yes.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, if your wife puts on a pot of coffee, I mean, your sense of smell goes, you know, if it registers 1 through 10, it's like at a 12. I mean, wow. If she puts a burger in the frying pan, it was one thing I noticed the last time I did a 3-day fast, just how incredible your sense of smell becomes. But on the envy, one of the things the Lord taught me years ago was that you can't be happy for someone else for their blessing and be envious of them at the same time.
Can't do it.
It does not work. I can't look at you and say, oh, you know, be happy that you have sky high or something, and at the same time be envious of that fact, thinking, you know, Coach doesn't deserve that property.
Amen.
I deserve that property.
Amen. You know? Yeah. Or maybe not even that, but say, Lord, why won't you bless me like that? Why won't you? Because he's been telling you for 6 weeks to write so-and-so a check, and you haven't done it.
That's right. Right. Well, I mean, even like look at Michelle, your wife, Michelle. You have a wonderful wife that the Lord has blessed you with. And do you know how much joy I have in my heart to know that you have a wonderful wife to be your partner? Now, how could I ever feel that if I was also jealous? At the same time, you know, whether I didn't have that, which I do, and thank the Lord I do, or, you know, or I felt I deserved that, you know, you can't, it's one or the other. And so I think that's something that we need to learn to exercise. And on the receiving thing, that is an exercise of humility.
It is.
And that is absolutely something we need to exercise, to give up that pride and just say, thank you.
It's a provision of the Lord through someone else. We have to recognize that. Neil, I see you, Bernie. Neil, come on in. I'm trying to get some guys in it that haven't. Go ahead, Neil.
One of the things that we have to be careful of is if we are committed by the Holy Spirit, or asked by the Holy Spirit, or driven to give somebody something, we have to be sure that we're not going to be concerned about what we do with it. My wife and I, we do a practice that if we see someone standing on a corner in Walmart's parking lot with a sign up, you know, trying to make it somewhere or need some money, and we'll share that experience with friends, and they say, well, what did you do that for? They're probably just going to go spend it on drugs. It's not us up to
Amen.
Us. It's not up to us to determine what they're going to spend it on. We were just told to help the people out. You give that away and you leave it to the Lord. That's
so the word. So the word said, listen now, friends, I don't know how we got on this, but let's stay here a second. So some of you are greedy. Some of you are stingy. Bible says give and it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running over. Are you listening to the next verse? Shall men give unto your bosom. Given, it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall God give to you? No, 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 no. God will cause men to give to you. God will bless you through other men. Boy, if we could ever get this give and take, if we could ever get this thing nailed down and understand this, how this thing flows. Hey, some of you, oh, Lord. I feel like I'm begging for money. Don't give me any money. Find somebody to give money to. Some of you are having issues in your life because of your stinginess. You won't let go. And then you expect God. You cut off the flow. Come on in, Bernie.
Yeah, Coach, okay. I was reading in Exodus, just going through the Bible, and I got to this point. Exodus 32:1. But when the people saw that Moses tarried ere long he came down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together against Aaron and said unto him, make us gods to go before us, for this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And I had a note down here. It says, the root of idolatry is when men think that God is not at hand except they see him carnally. We forget the presence of God, you know, Amen. And these people, and they're, you know, with their raising up the play in verse 16 and, verse 17. When Joshua heard the noise, the people went to whoring, whatever, partying. But it says, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the host. Mm. So Joshua wasn't with the people. He was out there at the mountain waiting for Moses. Instead of out there just lollygagging around. And then in verse 20, it says, after that, he took the calf, which they had made, and he burned it in the fire, and he ground it into powder, and strode it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. That means you're going to drink of your sin. Mm. But it also means that he ground it into powder. They drank it. That means they had to defecate that.
Yeah.
They're going to.
That's called the law of sowing and reaping, Bernie.
Yeah, that's called. Right? Well, anyways, I was just gonna share that. I really appreciate, you know, I've been generous, but I've also been stingy at times.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's something that kills, you know, when you read about some minister has been unfaithful with the funds, or you see people do, you know, people who are ungrateful, that kills your generosity.
Amen.
You know, now maybe there's a little bit of pride in there, or things that creep up, you're making some real good points. Thank you for sharing that, Coach.
Thanks, Bernie. I gotta get Rich in here and Chad in here. Come on in, Rich.
Yeah, David. Listening to everybody talk, what just popped into my head really strong was Romans 12, the whole doggone chapter, starting off with the sacrifice, with the renewing of your mind, not to be conformed to the world, to be transformed. And he goes on in here to say to think soberly, to be cheerful, to be giving, to be rejoicing. I mean, on and on and on down the line here. So, dying to self is strengthening our spirit, and in result of that, I see chapter 12, Romans 12, telling us this is how we're to be, and this will give us the strength to be that way.
Yes, sir. I beseech you, therefore, brother, mercies of God. Yes, sir. Chad, come on in. We're running out of time.
Okay. The thing was, is don't give with ulterior motives.
That's right.
Don't say, I'm going to do this because this is what it's going to come back on me.
That's right.
Because then I don't think you'll get the blessing. Amen. The blessing. So listen, just give freely. Just give freely with no thinking that you're going to get any reward out of it.
Folks, good word, Chad. Folks, listen. Don't look at giving as draining what you have. Listen to me. Giving is clearing out your water system is stopped up. And it stopped up because you have not given and created that flow of nature. Given it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down. When you stop giving, you got a plug in your sewer. It doesn't have anything to do with giving because whatever. It's because if you don't give, you're violating the laws of God, as Fred Mosby would say. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It's a continuous flow. Sorry if you feel like I'm talking about money. It ain't about money. Because, hey, you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, will make you free. God, this is good stuff. We'll see you Monday morning.